Leicester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
Now they've got a free kick. David Silva takes. And Lukaku defends. Oh, and it's a gift for Otamendi, who's in on the scoring act again. And Manchester City are back in front. Clearance was blocked. And Otamendi accepted the gift.
Allá viene el centro peligroso, remate, gol, gol, gol de los Tigres. Mesa lo metió, el colombiano se va al ataque y mete un frentazo letal. Está ganando Tigres.
Welcome into Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Tonight here throughout the show, it's 713-780-3776. You know what? If you are a Tigres fan or you are a Manchester City fan, you are flying high today and feeling good. We'd love to hear from you, 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. All right, so we just hand the title over to Manchester City. Is there anybody out there that can give me a real definitive argument outside of injury in how they will not win the title this year? They scored a ridiculous amount of goals, 52. The next closest team is 37. They're 11 points clear after a 2-1 win at Old Trafford. I've said it before, Pep Guardiola should have been the Manchester United manager. So we're excited about the holidays. We're excited about having you on tonight. We've got one more show before Christmas next Wednesday. But is it over for United? Is it over for Arsenal, Liverpool, Spurs, Chelsea? Is it done and dusted? Seems to me they're playing for second, third, and fourth place, as well as the Champions League. 11 points clear. Are you kidding? And in Monterey. How about that for entertainment value? For all you people that are negative about Liga MX, if you had tuned into that game, unless you're a snob, this was entertainment plus. So I get on the plane in Philadelphia. I just got done calling the typical NCAA Men's College Cup final. And by the way, congratulations to Stanford. They won three titles in a row under Jeremy Gunn. But it's typical. Sunday, the players are exhausted. Every year we don't do anything about it. Every year we play in an MLS stadium that's pretty much empty, although I will say the Indiana fans brought it. That model's not working. And every year nobody really seems to care where it's played. And I'm still of the model that it should be played either in a select city, like college baseball is in Omaha. Let that city make it their own. And then, or play it at the highest seed, where you'll get the highest seed gets rewarded, and we'll have a ton of students and fans at the final. So anyway, I get on the plane, and I'm happy to note that there's TV, and the TV monitor in front of me. I swipe the card. I got Tigres and Monterey. I got to watch the whole game on the way home. This was up and down. This was crazy. It was like somebody shot a gun and the whistle goes off. So Rayado scores early in this. Pabon chested down by Funes Mori, slammed in by Pabon. It's 1-0. Everybody's thinking it's Rayados. Tigres scores two goals, 30th and 35th. Hurtado misses a penalty. But this is up and down. This is absolutely insane. There is no team shape. There is no real organization. It's end-to-end. It's wide open. Manchester United, clear at the top. I'd like your thoughts on that. For those of you who did watch the epic Monterey, the Tigres-Rayados final, please. It's unreal entertainment. It's drama. It's color. It's excitement. It's passion. By the way, tons of those fans live here in Houston. whatever it is to get them entertained and connected to the Dynamo. And don't tell me it can't happen, because the Dynamo could be their secondary team if they're that loyal and that hardcore. People traveled to Monterey to go see that game. But that is an amazing soccer city. It's one I've been to many times. I did some youth development stuff down at Rayados. Incredible. Toronto FC, deserved winners. They won the Supporters' Shield. They win the MLS Cup. Are they the number one team in the history of Major League Soccer? Best team ever? I'm going to say yes. Supporters' Shield won the Cup. They were dominant. They dominated Seattle, who dominated the Dynamo in the Western Conference Final. And by the way, that's not a dig at the Dynamo. It's been a great year for the Dynamo. Toronto FC deserved it. But the bar is being raised in Major League Soccer. There is no doubt. Targeted allocation money. Now you're going to have an opportunity to do another $2.8 million. Big teams are going to take it all. And there is separation. We saw it this year. It's going to continue. It's going to be hard to keep up with the Joneses. One way you can, though, is the Houston Dynamo re-signing of Albert Elise. And we'll talk about that signing. How important is that to you, Dynamo fan? What does that mean? And is that, you know, Elise, retaining Elise, at least getting players of equal caliber, is that good enough for next year? You tell me. Last four MLS Cups, to my knowledge, have been won by big money spending teams. Tonight in studio, Dynamo General Matt Jordan, GM, he'll come in. New signing, Artur Alvarez will be on the show. By the way, Alvarez, his soccer was honed on the fields of Bear Creek Park. And guess what? He ended up being the captain of El Salvador. So pretty interesting story there. Great connection to our city. It was coached by former Houston hotshot Carlos Lessa. Champions League draw, that's also up for it tonight. Kicking for Houston is this Saturday at BBVA Compass Stadium, 5 o'clock. Lots of ex-players, Landon Donovan, Brian Ching, Stu Holden. Ocho Cinco is going to be there. Bregman is going to be there. That's at BBVA Compass Stadium, 5 p.m. It's for Hurricane Harvey relief. So get out. All the proceeds go to Hurricane Harvey relief, Dynamo Charities. So get over to Facebook Soccer Matters. You can hit me up during the show on Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc. And my thanks to Trey, one of the great interns here, who for that wonderful Houston Astros red hat that he left for me for Christmas. Trey, I appreciate it. If you're listening tonight, thank you very much for that. We stream at ESPN975.com, and we got a number of things tonight. The Carlsberg Team of the Week. We'll also have DJ Sun's pick, best music pick. And we've got some very interesting quotes from Danny Williams, the U.S. national team midfielder who plays for Huddersfield Town, who did not get called up by Bruce Arena in the U.S. national team. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Josh Sargent also. Sargent is this very talented young U.S. soccer player who at 18 is headed over to Germany to play in Germany. And one of his defining quotes was that he said, MLS was definitely an option for me at first. He told this to America Soccer Now's Brian Shiretta about his future and his decision to go to Europe. But he said, MLS was definitely an option for me at first. It would have been nice. Everyone speaks English. It's only 3 hours away. But I believe in life you have to do what is hard for you in order to build yourself as a person. Boy, wasn't that what Jurgen Klinsmann was saying? When you look at MLS, he says, you don't see many young players getting minutes. Weston and Christian, Weston McKinney, Christian Pulisic, are getting minutes. He's talking about in the German Bundesliga. I don't know how you can refuse that. Some of the best quotes this year have come from Josh Sargent and Christian Pulisic, who are essentially teenagers. Some of the wisest quotes this year. There's no sensitivity there. There's no, if you're going to Germany, you know, it's upsetting us because you're not going to MLS. And if you remember some of the interviews I've done in the past, we've kind of laid this out to you. Rob Moore, remember, was on the show talking about the German Bundesliga and why maybe that window will close in the future. But for right now, if you can get over to the German Bundesliga, young players see opportunity there. All right, behind the glass tonight, as always, Jose Partida in studio, Victor Ariza, as always. Let's get to the phone lines here tonight. What do we got first here, Jose?
We got our buddy Bilal on the line.
All right, let's go to Bilal. Bilal, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, Soccer Matters.
Yes, Soccer Matters, Bilal. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you? I hate to admit it, but as a United fan, I think it's time to just say England is blue and just hand the trophy over to Manchester City.
Ooh, you're going
to... They're playing an unreal level right now. I think the season is over in terms of who's going to win it, but I think the positioning is for fifth and sixth place between Leicester and Everton. I think since, November 29th, they haven't lost a game. And I think that's the more exciting sort of look, is that Europa League placing for those teams.
Well, I'm going to put this out, Bilal, to Manchester United fans. Does anybody want to respond to Bilal? Is there any hope out there that Manchester United still has a crack at Manchester City? Manchester City's 16 wins in a draw. They've won 15 games in a row. They have scored a ridiculous 52 goals. Now, remember, these goals are being scored against a lot of teams that are stacking 10 guys in front of a goalkeeper. Okay, they're defending deep, and they still find the precision to break these teams down. 52 goals scored, 11 against, a goal differential, a plus 41. It's insanity. Manchester United's a plus 26.
Really, Chelsea's a plus 17. Manchester United's best hope is maybe the Champions League, is to try to make it there. But after their last game, scoring one goal, and then pretty much for the last 25 minutes, just passing it around, not even looking to move forward, when they could have easily had more than one goal, I think maybe Lukaku should come off the bench and maybe give Ibra a chance to at least show that he's not an old man yet.
Well, Lukaku scored a day or two ago, so that's good news for him. But I put this out there. Can anybody catch Manchester City? Premier League fans, talk to me. Look, I don't think undoubtedly they might have a run of bad form. Injury can always play a part in this. They could potentially take the foot off the pedal. I don't see that happening with Pep Guardiola. But it's a team that's finding differing ways to win within Pep Guardiola's vision of soccer. So for whatever anybody wants to say about Guardiola, you don't like him, you want him to fail. I think a lot of people wanted to see him fail last year. He is out of this world. De Bruyne and company, Silva, out of this world. And it's, for a neutral, it's definitely a watch. You want to watch it because of the things they're doing in spaces as small as a phone booth. 713-780-3776 is the number. Somebody call in here and tell me why you think this title is not over. 713-780-3776, the number to call in here tonight. 713-780-3776 is a number to call. All right, let's go to Arun. Arun, what's on your mind tonight?
Just looking for a shoulder to cry on as an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a shoulder. We'll walk you off the ledge.
Yeah, there was it started off in a bad vibe with, you know, Sanchez as publicly as he can demanding a transfer, and Wenger not getting enough reinforcement other than Sead Kolasinac, who's been tremendous, but it seems like Wenger's forgotten how to set up lineups. You're seeing Wilshere back playing now. Cazorla, who's the catalyst for that team, hasn't played in feels like decades. And I seriously feel like this transfer window is make or break for Arsenal to win our standard yearly fourth place trophy, which we didn't last year as well. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on, is it finally time to say Wenger out?
No.
I've been a fan for 19 years now.
Yeah, I don't even know how to say it. I mean, you get people on both sides, look what he's done and all that, but it's kind of look what he's done now. There has to be something that freshens this thing up. We're still talking about not having a strong enough character with Arsenal. You know, the goal is draw at West Ham. It's more frustration. I don't know. I have to think at some point you got to do something. Ozil and some of these guys pick their moments when to play. It's so up and down. Is Jack Wilshere really as impressive as everybody says he is? I mean, we know he's a wonderful soccer player, but is he really? I don't know. It's frustrating, I think, if you're an Arsenal fan. At some point, Arsene Wenger's got to go. That's not, you know, we know he's a miraculous manager, but look, you're miles away from the top of this league now. So we'll see what happens in the transfer window. I think there are unhappy players there. I don't think there's any question, even though it may seem to the public there are players that are semi-content with the situation. I think there's a lot more going on around Arsenal. Anything else? Okay, that was Arun. Let's go to, I believe it's Ralph. Ralph, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Glenn?
Good, Ralph. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. I'm just calling, I heard you ask a question about the, does anybody think that Man City could be caught kind of thing, and although it might be a stretch, but I do feel like back in the back line, you know, between Otamendi and them, although he's been scoring the goals, I think they're suspect defensively, and I think it'll show actually this week with them playing Spurs, with the way that Spurs plays and Pochettino not being as tactically defensive minded as Mourinho was, not allowing the wingers and the upfront guys to really let it go against this back line that City has. I just think that with all the good play that City has been playing up front with their fullbacks, between the injuries, especially on that left-hand side with Fabian Delph, I think they're very suspect. And it showed a couple of times against United. I just don't think Mourinho really let them exploit that properly. So I think my personal opinion that it'll start this week, and I think some teams will kind of learn from that, especially on that left-hand side with Delph, who's been going up front a lot, and he's been great, but he just hasn't been challenged the way some of those English wingers could challenge him. So I see them going the way they are, but ultimately as well, I think they'll have a lot of mishaps coming up starting this week.
Well, I think, number one, you're bringing out a great point, because I think in a lot of the games this year, you have seen moments where they have looked shaky. They are especially shaky to me defending set pieces. The problem is they've got the ball most of the game. So it's going to take a night where somebody really is just picture perfect in punishing mistakes and moments where they have a lapse. And that could come. Now, they just won a 15th consecutive Premier League game, 4-0 over Swansea City. They slammed them. People are now bringing out the whole comparison to Arsenal's invincibles. You've just got some magic going on with this team, and De Bruyne and David Silva. And it is a spectacular team to watch, but 11 points before Christmas? Come on. That's a lot of points. That's going to have to be a pretty big epic fail. The only people that can lose this title are Manchester City themselves.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I just think that ultimately you're going to see come February, that round, like in the next 2 months, I think that 11 points is going to come down to about 5 or 6 points. They're going to lose a couple games. United or behind them are going to pick up a couple games here and there. So I think it's going to come down to that 5, 6 points. It's going to become much more manageable come the end of the race. But going back to your point with like controlling the ball, that's why I like the way Tottenham matches up against that City midfield between Eriksen, Dele Alli, and Moussa Dembele, and even Harry Winks, the way he's playing right now in the middle. I think they have also the talent to frustrate City with controlling the ball themselves, which I know Tottenham hasn't been playing the best football lately or soccer.
I think they'll bring it up against City. Well, maybe the opponent brings the best out of Spurs. It's a good point that they are good with the ball as well, but there's nobody on the stratosphere right now in Manchester City. But let's keep an eye on that one. Let's talk about that next Wednesday.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff, Ralph. Appreciate that. Let's do a little Chelsea talk. Martin, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
Hey, good. Thanks for calling in.
That City's got it running away, hands down. You know, it's 11 points is a huge difference, and it kind of sucks for me because my best friend is a City fan, so I have to live with it. But I'm more excited for the Premier League not the Premier League, the Champions League group of 16.
Yes.
Because as a Chelsea fan, the past two times we were in the Champions League group 16 draw, we got PSG, and I could not stand it. They always stopped us right there at that point of the stage. So even though we got Barcelona in the draw this year, I'm thrilled as a Chelsea fan that it's not PSG, because for some reason in the Champions League, they just had our number. But I'm just going to hang up and listen now.
All right. I thank you very much for that. And by the way, there's all kinds of crazy things going on with David Luiz wanting to leave and has issued an ultimatum to Antonio Conte. So things are not all good with the Blues right now. Just to go off that last caller there, we appreciate that. Juventus, Spurs, Basel, Manchester City. This is the Champions League draw. Porto, Liverpool, Sevilla, Manchester United, Real Madrid, PSG. That's a beauty. Shakhtar Donetsk, Roma, Chelsea, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Beşiktaş of Turkey. We'll take a break. A moment here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-4878. Doesn't matter whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction. Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm working for you 24-7. They're going to fight for your right for compensation. DaspitLaw.com. When we come back, some Albert Elise discussion. Hey, Dynamo fans, do you have a pulse out there? Dynamo fans, Albert Elise, he's ours here in Houston. We'll take a break. It's a Bud Light break.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Brewery St. Arnold.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Moment away here. Let's just get ready to quickly talk a little Albert Elise. We want to hear more of these goals from La Pantarita coming up in the upcoming year. Let's roll some of that sound from Albert Elise and some of the great moments he had this year.
Towards the near post.
Clipson it off. It's a good ball. It's two. It's a second for the Houston Dynamo. It's speared in by the Panther. Albert Elise.
And we welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Next segment, when we get Matt Jordan in here, brought to you by an Irish pub with an Irish feel. That's the Gorgeous Gale. It's a place for you soccer fans. Head over to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. Catch all the best soccer and football matches there. It's where Liverpool supporters group hangs out. The Liverpool fans have been a little bit silent. Today we're hearing from everybody but Liverpool. By the way, just back on Spurs, how over-reliant are they on Harry Kane? I mean, this guy, the amount of games he plays, the amount of minutes he plays, this can't go on. Gorgeous Gale. Whiskey offerings are great over there. Say hello to my friend Peter at the Gorgeous Gale. It's thegorgeousgale.com. It's over in the West University area. Also want to thank you when it comes to Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Bud Light also knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter. And that's going to happen over the holidays for you or when you're watching soccer matches, whether you're listening to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We thank Bud Light. And don't forget, tomorrow's story is made by what you do at night. So make tonight's tomorrow's story. Swing by King's Court. They serve Bud Light down there. And remember, you're not just drinking beer, you're building friendships when you are connected to Bud Light. So So Matt Jordan's making his way in here, and he's probably a pretty happy guy after hearing those La Pantarita goals that he's been re-signed. So welcome in, Matt, and we appreciate you coming in studio here tonight. How are you?
Glenn, how are you?
We went a little. I was extending my hand there. You know, dead air on radio is not a good thing usually, but we had a little bit there. So welcome in, and let's start it off by just saying congratulations on a great year. You guys have really turned things around. You made it a very interesting, exciting year. It was a playoff year all the way to the Western Conference. So congratulations to you, the coaching staff, and everybody at the organization.
Well, you know, Glenn, first, thank you very much for having me on tonight. And yeah, it's exciting not only for the club and the team, but for the city and, you know, for all of our fans and the soccer enthusiasts in town. So it was fun. It was a good time. And you know, it was a lot of ups and downs like every season has, but it was a good time.
How much pressure was on you to get the Elise deal done? Because I'm sitting here thinking after this year, you know, if you're a fan out there, the number one priority in your mind is that kid, that goal celebration, that excitement he brings. And I have to think there's pressure on you guys as an organization. Take us into that deal.
Yeah. No, listen, there's a lot of pressure to get it done. You know, I was in Monterey, you know, for the better part of 3 days, about 10 days ago. And it's just these deals take time. You know, we've been working on it for quite some time since probably about July. But at the end of the day, you know, when you have these loan to buy situations, the club that owns the player's pass, they have the luxury to wait. You know, so you almost I'll be totally honest with you. My I got a huge lump in my throat when he scored against Mexico, and I was like, uh-oh. I really, everyone around the city and, you know, there, you saw on social media, everyone was going, getting so happy. And for me, with the position I hold, it was like, oh boy, here we go. You know, and that's really where this thing took a turn and got complicated.
Well, La Pantarita is back. He's a Houston Dynamo player. Now, so I get on the plane in Philadelphia after watching Stanford win the national championship. I got the Tigres Rayados game on. And as I'm watching this flying back to Houston, I'm going, you know, Monterrey plays a very direct style of soccer. It's very different to most Mexican league teams. And I'm going, yeah, I can see Albert Elise a target in this team.
Yes.
Whether coming off the bench, whether being a starter on occasions. And I'm going, man, are they going to be willing to let him go? Can you just tell us, once you agree to that final number, right, that final number that says Houston can buy him, is that a number that can't change? And is that a number that at any time you said you'll meet that number, he becomes a Dynamo player? How does that work?
You know, a lot of it
is that negotiable.
I don't understand. Yeah, you know, everything's negotiable. You know, that's okay. That's for sure. But you know, the thing that's important in a lot of these loan to buy situations, you know, sometimes they're like in trigger based on performance. You know, so maybe, you know, this particular deal wasn't quite like this, but some deals are like this where, hey, you know, the player scores in 10 goals and, you know, starts 24 games and the option price is this, as opposed to if he doesn't hit those triggers. You know, so there's, and then it also gets into, you know, what percentage of the pass the club owns. You know, how many agents are involved? You know, I mean, usually that's with a lot of these situations, that's what's the challenge. You know, there's a lot of layers to work through. You know, there's just a lot of layers. You know, sometimes with an agency group, there's a few different people involved. I mean, so it there's always more of the story. That's what you never, in those situations, you never feel it's like done. Truly, truly done. Even if it's like verbally agreed on or agreed upon through email, you never believe it's like truly done till you see the paperwork signed. Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality of it.
So as you're watching Rayados get to the Mexican League finals, and we were talking earlier about how wonderful this whole Tigres Monterrey thing was and how exciting it was. Albert is scoring goals for the Dynamo. Albert is scoring goals internationally. He's got the team on the brink of getting to a World Cup. How much up and down emotionally was there? And I mean, I know you're sitting there going, look, the Dynamo fans are going to want this guy back. If he doesn't come back, it's going to be pretty interesting because you're buying him as a statement.
Yes.
You're buying and acquiring him as a statement.
Yes.
It's one that's got to be built on, but it's a big statement.
Yes.
Conversely, If he doesn't come back, it's a big statement. You guys know that. That's the pressure the other of that thing, kid.
You know, the other element too is, you know, on the world market, you have to say, okay, we don't bring him back. You know, what's the market look like for a 21-year-old to replace him? You know, to replace that offensive output and the qualities he has. We've been trying to work out a deal with them since July. The reality of it is that they have the luxury to sit back with a cigar and just wait and see how he's doing. He's scoring, you know, and this and that. And then, like I told you, you know, when he scored against Mexico, I was like, oh, this is, oh, man.
But was this a predetermined number that you guys met, or did that number go up with his performance at the end of the year? How does that work?
You know, it was, I can't get into those details. Right. I can't get into those details, but all I can say is that it took a lot more time, you know, than we would have liked for it to have taken. Yeah. And to the point where I had to go down to Monterey and try to get this thing over the line about a week and a half ago.
All right. So I look at him now, and Wilmer Cabrera is going to be on later, and we're going to ask him the same question. Without international football, without all that traveling, I look at Elise and I go, it's a 15, 20-goal scorer. I mean, we have to consider what him and these guys went through as far as travel.
Yes.
These guys were in Australia. If this guy's stable and in Houston more and, you know, not pushing his body to the limits, this guy can bust Kubo Torres' 14-goal record this year.
I think that's what was great about our team this year is that, in my opinion, we have four players that can put up 15 goals or more.
No, I get that. I'm saying him.
Yeah, no, listen, I think the key with Albert, too, is that, you know, what you see a lot is, you know, the pace that he brings from the wide areas to take players on. But we have that on the other side as well. And so at the end of the day, our opposing teams, they have to make a decision. You know, and a lot of times what you'll see, like you see a lot with Chicago, right? You see, you know, teams that are in the play against Chicago, they overplay a comm, you know, and they can shift a little bit more and leave the far side. But with us, with Rommel and Albert and Wenger and some of our other pieces, you know, and even Morrow when he gets out there at times, you know, they have to be honest and they have to respect
you. They got
to
be honored.
Yes.
Just when they walk on the field.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I love that about this team. And, you know, we haven't had that in this team for many, many years. We haven't had this type of team speed either. I mean, and athleticism. It's crazy. Do you think fans realize how good he is in the air? La Panterita?
No, that I think that is
he's
that
unbelievable
is,
in
no,
the air.
No, I mean, and that's something that is – that's, I think, what we believe, you know, gives him the quality to even take it to a notch higher. Because, right. again, and the other thing you don't – you see – I mean, we watch players all the time – he's very good in the air, but he's very good at putting the ball, getting up and elevating for the ball, but putting it down on the down low, you know, and that's a very rare trait to find. And he's, you know, that's something that really stands out about him.
Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan in studio here. Big news about Albert Elise re-signed for the Houston Dynamo. We're going to get into some of the other pieces and things that are going on with the Dynamo. But I mean, we've seen many a good dribbler and guy with pace that couldn't head a ball for beans.
Yes.
That's just, to me, him coming in from a wide area to be a center forward when the ball's on the opposite side of the field and how many he got offset pieces, pretty spectacular. And I'm just kind of sitting here going, wow, next year with him around more, not having to travel, no Honduras in the World Cup, no problems with that, man, things could be pretty amazing.
Well, and I think what is – I mean, he and our other attacking pieces, they're very hungry to score goals. Like they're very, very hungry to score goals and they have a strong desire, you know, in the attack, to put defenders on their heels. And I think that really stands out. And, you know, the one thing I'll say as well, Glenn, is that I think our strategic plan and also our head coach is a perfect fit for the young, talented pieces that are only getting better. And that's the one thing I really like about Wilmer and our coaching staff is there's a real passion to teach the game. And I've worked with a lot of coaches. I've worked with a lot of coaches and there's a lot of coaches. They just want everything turnkey ready, you know, boom, from day one. And
yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah. You know, but again, if you look, and I think that's been vital for us as we've rebuilt the team is that we have players that are continuing to grow and they have a lot ahead of them and they're not on their way down.
And even the college players have to be taught. I mean, yes. A lot of players in this league have to be taught when they enter it.
And the other thing I'll say is not a lot of professional coaches value the teaching aspect of the professional game.
He's Matt Jordan joining us in studio. So Josh Sargent came out and had a pretty interesting quote talking about MLS being an option to him, but that he didn't notice, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, he didn't notice that the young American players were getting a chance. Thus, he's off to Germany. He's a very, very talented player, as you know. But he saw Pulisic and he saw Weston McKennie over there playing in the first team in the Bundesliga. What are your thoughts on that? Do we need to, you know, we got a boatload of nice under 17s with the U.S. national team. We have a boatload of nice under 20s, but they're not getting minutes. And the next 2 years are going to be vital for these kids. How do we incentivize coaches, you think, in this league to start playing these younger players? Because if not, we're going to miss the boat on some of these kids.
Yeah. No, I think it's tough. It's tough because there's so much pressure to win. And that's, you know, that's obvious. It's professional sports. I think, to be honest with you, Glenn, it starts at the ownership level. It starts at the ownership level when you have ownership that's ready to say, look, we're behind you. We understand that you're going to give young guys a chance. And I think that that's what's been missing with our club, you know, over the last, you know, probably before my time a little bit. And even the first couple of years I was here. Right. But I think, and I'm really pleased that if you look and you saw it this year, I mean, there's what, 35 different lineups this year. And, you know, Wilmer's not afraid to give guys a chance. And you saw it with Remick. You saw it with Memo. You saw it with this guy. You saw it with that guy, you know. And that is really important. And so to some extent, I believe and I agree that we got to give our young guys more of a chance. The one thing that me personally that I struggle with is mandating minutes. You know, and that's something that, you know, a lot of leagues around the world, you know, do. It's really tough because I'm, and you're like me, we're probably a little bit old school, is, you know, at the end of the day, when you made a name for yourself as a player, you had to earn everything. Nothing was given to you, you know, and I know that. I know your history and your career. Same for me as well. And so it's a delicate balance because you want these kids to earn it, but you have to have an environment and really ownership, the president, the general manager and the head coach down that's willing to give them a chance, you know? And so I think it's something we have to really look at. I really do.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And if there was a rule put in place that said X amount of guys have to get minutes, those kids could even become comfortable knowing that as the younger player, they're going to get those minutes. So yes. It could work.
Well,
it could work in reverse.
The other thing too. So let's just say, you know, you're sitting at, you know, each week, and you're getting to the last quarter of the season, right? And you're like, okay, well, you know, we got to get this young guy another
$800
yeah. You know, yeah. And we're not going to get, you know, this amount of whatever allocation money, or we're going to be fined or this or that. And then all of a sudden it's not happening organically, you know, and the player is not, you know, earning it to some extent. And I think also what it does, it kind of puts the coaches back against the wall. And then it can create a little bit of animosity, I think, within the group, because the vets are like, listen, what's going on here? You know, all of a sudden I'm on the bench because this kid has to play.
It's contrived.
Exactly. And so that's where me personally, I'm on all these committees. I'm on every one of these committees at the league level. I personally struggle with it, but I do believe that, you know, we have to have our coaches have to give the young guys more of a chance, you know, and that's something that I'm really, look, I mean, just think, you know, look at Moro, Minotas, you know what I mean? I mean, there's another example. I mean, it takes time, you know, it takes time. And you know, no one, when Moro Minotas came to the Houston Dynamo, no one in the city knew who Moro Minotas was. You know, the kids, you know, become a difference maker. You know, you look at Tomas Martinez has that same trajectory and that same path. Romel Kyoto, you know, is a little more established. You look at Albert.
Still young, though, at 25.
Yeah,
or 26.
Yeah. I mean, Juan David Cabezas, the same thing.
Hold that thought because we need to hit a break here. Hold that thought. Okay. We're up on a hard break here. As we go to break here, a quick word here for the King's Court. It's down in Edo. It's right near the stadium at 903 Hutchins on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. 13 TVs, Premier League matches, Dynamo matches, La Liga, Champions League, you name it, they have it. It's the home of El Batallón, the Dynamo supporters group. 24 taps. Get over to King's Court. Say hello to Jay, KingsCourtTX.com. Bud Light reminds you nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. And Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that are going to really matter over the holidays. So make tonight tomorrow's story with Bud Light. You're not just drinking beer, you're building friendships. take a Bud Light break right now. Are there any cold Bud Lights around here, Jose?
I can go find some.
All right, we'll take a break. Bud Light break. More with Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan coming up.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
You going to bring me a pillow so I can go lay down here and go to sleep with this music? What we got here?
I play some Oasis for Trey.
Oh, this is for Trey?
His favorite band.
Okay. Better than the Beatles, right?
According to Oasis, Trey.
Yeah, better than the Beatles. They are Manchester City fans, though. So see your thinking back there, Jose. I love it. 713-780-3776. Matt Jordan, Dynamo General Manager. In studio here, I just need to do a quick read as we come back. We do have coming up from the Flat Houston in DJ Sun, his music pick tonight. We have the Carlsberg Team of the Week as well. So we have those coming up for you. And, of course, we do remind you that Azure Salon is in the heart of River Oaks. This is the time of year you need to be looking good for Christmas. It's A-Z-U-R, Azure Salon, azuresalon.com. Get over there. Tristan is excellent. She does, gives me a haircut, makes me at least presentable. She doesn't have a lot to work with, but she does make me presentable for television. Get over to Azure Salon. Ladies, they've got you covered with color, cuts, extensions. Also coming up this weekend, Car Culture. 9 o'clock, there's a Texas Children's Hospital tie-in over at West Ave, Gables West Ave, 9 to 11 in the morning. You will see some of the most unbelievable cars, Lamborghinis, you name it, they're there, Maseratis, Ferraris. It's ridiculous. There's a DJ over there. I'm going to be over there 9 to 11 on Saturday morning, and then 5 o'clock it's kicking for Houston for Hurricane Harvey Relief, which is in combination with Dynamo Charities. That'll be down at BBVA Compass Stadium. All kinds of Brian Ching, Stuart Holden, Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey, some celebrities down there as well. So 5 o'clock. Let's get back to Matt Jordan. All right. So was it tough losing Alex? team MVP last year. Was that a tough one?
Yes. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. You know, we've been in discussions with Alex for quite some time. Offered him, you know, a very, very good contract with significant pay increases. And it just gets tough, Glenn, because, you know, in Asia, you know, you're looking at all of a sudden, you know, this is DP money. And, you know, and we really made a big push at that. And I mean, look, Alex is a great kid. I mean, honestly, and he even, you know, he's been very, very, you know, appreciative of everything and, you know, but it's just, you know, we pushed as hard as we could. And so it was disappointing to lose him.
Why the drop off this year? I mean, I thought after July, he kind of nosedived a bit. He didn't make as many plays. He didn't create as, you know, his numbers didn't obviously match up. Not that that's everything. He just seemed to have lost a little bit of the fire.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I mean, listen, Alex is a guy. He always gives his best. And he always, you know, he's a true competitor. You know, I'd say, you know, we probably hit a little bit of a dip at that time of the year as well. So I can't just say it's just, you know, it was from a team aspect. Right. And so I got to be fair, you know, with that. But Alex is a competitor. I mean, look, we have his rights in Major League Soccer. So, you know, if he ever is to come back to the league, you know, I mean, we have his rights and we retained his rights through this process, which was important to us as well.
Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. So let's quickly look at some of the guys that are listed right now as departing, but I know you're renegotiating with a lot of these players. So if you're out there and a Dynamo fan, you see departing, doesn't necessarily mean the player's leaving. So we do know Alex is left. Anibaba, Beasley, Ricardo Clark, I'm picking out some of the bigger names here. De La Garza. How about those guys? Are they all coming back? Remick.
Each situation is unique and different. There's a lot of ongoing discussions going on with the group of players that you just mentioned. Some of them are free agents as well. And that was something I never had the luxury of having in this league, is being able to explore free agency. And a few of those players, are also exploring free agency. And that's a process too that you have to respect. I mean, you know, I look at a guy like Eric, who we just signed today. Eric's a guy that, you know, there's a lot of teams after him. And so we were really pleased that through free agency, you know, he chose to be back here with us and be a part of what we're working towards.
Artur Alvarez, do you see him as a starter, spot duty, off the bench, a la Vicente Sanchez?
I'd say all of the above. You know, I mean, Vicente really was a really positive addition this year. I mean, and Vicente is another example. You know, Vicente, I think, you know, is right now, I think he's taking his time to decide if he wants to keep playing or not.
You guys want him back?
Listen, he really asked right now that he wants to take the time, you know, to consider if he's going to retire. But I will say, you know, that bringing a guy like Arturo, he has quality. He creates chances. He's very good in possession. He's a great person as well, which is important to us. And again, it's another one of those players that brings balance in the locker room, you know, and so we're really happy to have. We've been trying to get him for a couple of years. There was never the right time. And
he's excited to be back.
Yeah. And so we're really pleased to have him.
How about, last four MLS Cup champions, they're big money teams.
Yeah.
We know the big money is taking over in this league. There is separation. How challenging is it going to be to keep up with the Joneses now? Because it's ridiculous money that's being spent. You're going to have the opportunity to use another $2.8 million of targeted allocation money. And those teams we know are going to take it all.
Yes. The Nagby trade, I mean, basically that was like – I mean, that you saw that the Nagby trade happened right as the discretionary TAM got approved. So really what they're saying is, okay, Yamil Assad, for example, Yamil Assad, you know, is a player we liked. He did very well. We'd like to buy him. Let's just say, for example, they could have bought him for $2.5 million. That was the purchase price on him. You know, they're saying, okay, hey, we can't come to an agreement, so we can spend $1.6 to get Nagby because we know we have all that discretionary TAM. And so in their eyes, they're saving money. So it's going to be challenging, I do believe that, you know, we have a clear plan. We've implemented that plan. And I think that's really important, you know, that we continue to stay strong with the path we're going on. And, you know, we're confident in the work we're doing. You know, Albert's purchase, I mean, it, like you said, it sends a strong message. And that was important for us to do.
But is that going to be, in other words, have you had the discussion with Gabriel Brenner and the ownership group about how much of that TAM you guys expect to get out of the potential that's there, out of 2.8? Have you had that discussion? And is Albert at least the last sort of big signing? Is everything else just kind of trying to find the right pieces, or could there be another big signing?
We're always looking to improve. I mean, that's the key for us. You know, we have our three TAM players right now are Mauro Menotti, Juan David Cabezas, and Romel Kyoto. And they're perfect. They're perfect TAM guys. I want to say we have the lowest average age of our TAM players in MLS at 24 years old. I know we have the youngest average age of our designated players at 22 years old. And so that's all part of the plan. And yeah, those discussions, they are happening.
So do you at this moment know how much of that TAM you're going to be able to play with? I mean, I would have to think yes, because you're putting the team together.
Yeah, I mean, look, those are ongoing discussions. Those are ongoing. And a lot of it comes to, you know, okay, what's this player, the opportunity cost to add him? You know, those are discussions that, of course, we need to get approval on. But I do know that ownership is open to continue and to help strengthen this team, which we just saw with the purchase of Albert and with Juan as well.
So we could see another big signing.
We're working. We're always working. I'm not going to rule it out. I'm not going to rule it out. That's for sure.
Good. Matt, listen, thank you so much for coming in. I wish you and your family great holidays. We appreciate you coming into studio as well, because it's easier to pick up a phone. It makes it a better interview. It makes it more interesting and exciting for me. It's always good to catch up. And again, congratulations on a great year.
Glenn, it's always a pleasure. And I always say this to you, and I really sincerely mean it, is that I appreciate that you, your passion for the game and your passion for growing the game in the city. And you know, we just want to keep rolling.
Please see my producer, Mr. Jose Partida, on the way out. He's got $100
no
bill
problem.
For you.
Is it, is it an envelope or is it the handshake?
In a case of wonderful Merlot for you. No, actually Bud Light.
Yeah.
Let me get this right. Matt, thanks for coming
in. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. That's Matt Jordan. We love that he came in studio here. We'll be looking forward to getting him back in as we get the, believe it or not, closer to the MLS season, which is, I believe, less than 3 months away. Hard to believe that. Hey, soccer fans, Kings Court, the place to be. 903 Hutchins, kingscourttx.com. Go down there, say hello to Jay. Great pub food, 13 TVs, La Liga, Champions League, you name it, they have it down there. Get down to the Kings Court. Car culture, 9 to 11 a.m. This is Lamborghinis, Maseratis. They all come in. They are, you know, these guys with their cars. It's really pretty cool. You go over there, there's a DJ. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm going to be over there. Look for me. There was a good connection there with Texas Children's Hospital. Don't forget also, 5 o'clock on Saturday, kicking for Houston, Stu Holden, Brian Ching, Clint Dempsey, Landon Donovan, believe it or not, I think Roger Clemens may be there, and get down to BBVA at Compass Stadium. That's all for Hurricane Harvey Relief and Dynamo Charities. We'll take a Bud Light break right now.
ESPN 97.5.